Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our Thursday night Pirkei Avos Shir learning, Erev Shabbos, again Chodesh, the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar. So we have two Shir sponsors this evening. Here we go. Okay, the first Shir sponsor, and I'm not going in order of preference, just in order of how the information was sent to me. Miriam Goodman, could you see my screen? You always give me a good nod so I know. Yes, okay. The first sponsor of tonight's shiur is Miri Urbach. She is sponsoring Lezecher Nishmas, her father, Rabbi Alter Zev ben Naftali Chaim Zichrono Livracha. She told me some very interesting stories about her father. The yahrzeit is tonight slash tomorrow, 30th of Shvat, first day Rosh Chodesh Adar. May the neshama of Rabbi Alter Zev ben Naftali Chaim Zichrono Livracha merit an aliyah in the zchus of the Torah we will share this evening. Mary said about her father, he came to America as an orphan. He spent the war in Siberia. He never forgot the royal yichus that he came from. He was zochet to a marriage built on tremendous mutual respect. Respect for his wife and that his wife had for him. His smile was contagious. His glistening eyes spoke of love for his fellow Jew. He was zochet, she said, Baruch Hashem, to wonderful doros, a beautiful mishpacha, and much nachas. He always had a grateful word, praising Hashem every waking moment for his brachos. May the neshama have an aliyah and the zchus of the Torah this evening. The second sponsor is Gail Hoffman. She is sponsoring Lezecher Nishmas too. She said beautiful Jewish mothers. Her mother, Sarah Bat Ben Sion, Alaha Hashalom, and mother-in-law, Sarah Bat Chizkiyahu HaKohen, both the yahrzeits were last week. Sadly, they both passed away very young in their 60s. Gail wrote about her mother-in-law that she was born in Poland, the youngest of 17 children, whose own mother was 52 when she was born. Four exclamation marks. Her grandfather and some older brothers came to the U.S. before World War I, but much of the rest of the family came after. Her mother-in-law attended the original Sarah Schneer Beis Yaakov in Poland. She arrived in the U.S. when she was around bat mitzvah age. She led a simple but very difficult life. She was a mother of boys, so she loved her daughters-in-law and the grandchildren very, very much. Gail's mother, Sarah Bat Ben Sion, was born in Brooklyn. Her parents came to the States before World War I, and the spoken language in the home was English. I always find this amazing when I find a family history like this, because I come from four Holocaust survivors who came here after the war, so I find that incredible. She was one of the first female graduates of Brooklyn Law School, and in the many years she practiced law, she was the first female to achieve many positions. She was a great role model for her daughters about achieving balance between work and family. It's also a refuah shleimah for Elchanan Pesach ben Sarah Shlomo. Elchanan Pesach ben Sarah and Shlomo ben Sarah Dina, may they both have refuah shleimah in the zchus of the Torah that we share this evening. So very special zchusim and aliyah neshamas this evening, and may the learning be meaningful to all. We thank both Gail and Miri for their sponsorship tonight. We are going to be talking, continuing the Mishnah that we are learning. So let me actually screen share and show you the Mishnah that I have prepared for you here. We are in Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Gimel, if you recall. So we are going to finish up the Mishnah tonight. Hu haya omer, it's highlighted on my screen for you. He used to say, meaning Hillel used to say. Here we go. Nagid Shema, Aved Shema. He who pulls after a name will lose his name. We spoke about that 2 weeks ago. Last week we spoke about Udilo Mosif Yasef. He who does not increase his learning will detract from his learning. Udilo Yalef Kitala Chayef. He who does not learn deserves death. Tonight we are going to focus on the remainder, the last teaching of Hillel in this Mishnah, and that is Udi Ishtamesh Bisaga. Hold on a second. Udi Ishtamesh Bisaga Chalef, which means a person who makes use of the crown will pass away. Udi ishtamesh, like shimush, someone who uses bitaga of the crown, chaleif, will pass away. And tonight we will understand what this part of the Mishnah is teaching us. So I will begin by showing on the screen here the Bar Tanura. I forgot to ask if you could see my screen when I moved to the Mishnah. Yes, you could. Thank you so much. So the Bar Tanura says, very interesting, which you could see over here. Let me just move you up here. There you go. Okay, so the Bartonura says, so the translation is Ud Ishtamesh Basaga Khalif. He who makes use of the crown will pass away. But the Mishnah does not say, I'm just opening up my actual sefer of the Bartonura and Perkei Avos here. I have it on the screen for you with my sefer here. The Mishnah doesn't say what crown. It just says he who makes use of the crown will pass away. So exactly what are we speaking about here? So the Bartonura says, Ud Ishtamesh Basaga, he who makes use of the crown. The Bartonura says, Hamishtamesh Bikisra Shalom. Torah. Someone who makes use of the crown of Torah, ke adam hamishtamish bekelav, like someone who just makes use of everyday vessels, someone who makes use of the crown of Torah, like you make use of everyday vessels, chalaf va'avar min ha'olam. He will pass away and pass on from this world. So someone who treats Torah like everyday kelim, which should be used to serve him, not you should be used to serve Torah, but Torah should be used to serve me, like all other kelim, he will pass away and pass from the world. What is taga mean? The Mishnah says, Udishta amesh bitaga, someone who makes use of a taga, tav gima aleph. What is a taga? So the Bartonura says, taga b'lishon yishmael keser. Taga in the Ishmaelite language is a keser. Keser, we understand. Keser is a crown. Interestingly, the Bartonura continues and says, v'yesh mefarshim, and there are those who explain, taga, okay, which he already says in the Lashon Yishmael means a keser, or Lashon Yishmael Taga is keser in Lashon HaKodesh, but there are those who say that Taga is Roshei Tevos. Taga is an acronym, Tav Gima Aleph, and it stands for Talmid Gavra Achrina. Very interesting. The student of another man. Talmid, Gavra, Achrina. You should be able to understand that Talmid is Talmid, Gavra is a Gever, Achrina is Acher. So there are those who say that Taga stands for the acronym of the Talmid of a different man. What does that mean? Udishta Amesh Bitaga Chalaf, one who makes use of the Talmud of another man will pass away. Says the Bartonura, Sha'asr la'adam lihishtamesh b'talmidim, b'talmidim she'enan talmidav. A person is forbidden from using talmidim for his purposes if they're not his talmidim. And I shamati, and I heard, said the Bartonura, Udishtamesh b'taga, he who makes use of the taga means hamishtamesh b'shem hamiforash. Someone who makes use of the shem hamiforash, the ineffable name, which we are not allowed to make use of, which we're not allowed to pronounce, which we're not allowed to say, chalaf va'avad, he will pass away and be lost. She'eno chelek le'olam haba, someone who makes use of God's all-powerful shem hamiforash, the explicit name of God, not only will he pass on from this world, but so the Bartonura helps us understand what this teaching of Hillel is. A number of explanations according to the Bartonura. Let's review them. One who uses the crown of Torah, like a man who just uses his kelim, his vessels, implements, he will pass away and pass on from this world. Taga means keser. Another explanation, Taga is an acronym. You can see it still on the screen here. It's Rosh Tevos, Talmid Gavra Achrina. You can't make use of somebody else's Talmud for your own purposes. Furthermore, Udishtamesh B'Taga can also mean one who makes use of the Shem HaMeforash, the explicit name of God, which we are not allowed to pronounce, which we're not allowed to say. He will Chalaf V'Avad. He will die and be lost. Be lost from where? She'eno Chelek La'olam Haba. So that is the number of different interpretations according to the Bartonura. I've been quoted from Rav Lau and Pirkei Avos for a number of weeks. I will now quote from Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita, on commentary to Pirkei Avos. Hillel does not explain what this crown is, like you saw, Mishtamish Bitaga Chalav, but he doesn't specify what the crown is. So the Bartonura said it was the crown of Torah. But he who makes use of the crown will pass away. What is the crown? We must assume, says Rav Lau, like we already saw in the Bartonura, this is the crown of Torah. Why do you think that? Why should we assume it's the crown of Torah? Quote, because it is the only true and endearing diadem. Diadem, the Zer Zahav, are coming up to Truman Tetzava. A number of the golden kelim had a Zer Zahav, a golden crown around them. And if he says, if you make use of the crown for personal use, you pass away, it must be the crown of Torah, because it's the only enduring crown that every Jew has. We could all have all kinds of headpieces, all kinds of jewelry, all kinds of diadems. The only one that lasts is Torah. If you make use of it for personal use, not to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, that person has cut himself off in a sense and he will pass away. Rabbeinu Yitzchak ben Shlomo of Toledo, still quoting Rav Lau, explains this refers to a person who treats his Torah knowledge as though it is a commodity, And therefore, literally, we can read the phrase as follows: one who makes use of the crown has already passed away from the world. Read it in the past tense, says Rav Lau. Read it literally in the past tense. One who makes use of the crown of Torah, it's as if he has already passed away from the world. His existence is no longer truly life. If we use Torah for subjective, self-serving, selfish purposes, then we're not really living a Torah life the way we are meant to live a Torah life. And you'll see that too, Rabbi Lau and also Mr. Irving Budim, Zichron Avicha, bring similar examples from the Gemara, where we see what it means to use the crown for self-aggrandizement, the crown of Torah self-aggrandizement, to serve ourselves instead of to serve God. Why is this person's punishment so severe, says Rav Lau? Torah learning is a deadly serum. Quoting Maseches Tainis, the Torah becomes a deadly serum, a deadly potion for anyone who learns it with ulterior motives. Maseches Tainis, Zayin Amar Aleph, as quoted by Rav Lau, Torah will become a deadly potion for anyone who uses it for ulterior motives. So man, fellow man, might not know if you're using it for ulterior motives, but the Ribono Shel Olam, the Kol Yachal, will certainly know if we are utilizing Torah to serve ourselves, our name, our reputation. Remember how the Mishnah began? He who runs after a name will lose a name. So the end of the Mishnah makes a lot of sense. If you use Torah to build up your name, your reputation, your own self, instead of using it to be Mekadei Shem Shemayim and get closer to the Ribono Shel Olam, the beginning of the Mishnah and the end of the Mishnah connect. Then you're really using Torah to build up, to chase after your name. Then you will lose your name. And here the Mishnah says you will lose your life. Similarly, Rabbi Bar Chana teaches in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, whoever makes use of the crown of Torah is uprooted from the world. This is quoting from the Gemara Maseches Nedarim. Balshatzar was punished. Who is Balshatzar? So I said to my daughter, I was preparing, sure, I said, who is Belshazzar? So I had to look it up. I said it has something to do with Nebuchadnezzar, and I thought it had something to do with the Purim story. Belshazzar was a son of Nebuchadnezzar. And the Gemara says Belshazzar was punished for having made personal use of the temple vessels. It makes sense. His father was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan plundered and destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, and they brought the vessels. And we know that Achashverosh still had them by his party. So Belshazzar, says the Gemara Maseches Nedarim, was punished for having made use of the personal use of the temple vessels. How much more so will a person be punished, says the Gemara, for making personal use of Torah? The Yavetz elaborates that this fate awaits anyone who uses Torah for a self-centered purpose. Even a person who uses it to earn money for his basic necessities loses any reward he might have expected. Yavetz translates the verb chalaf. This is very interesting. Listen carefully. Udiishtamesh betaga chalaf. So far we've said, like we saw in the Bar Tanura, he who makes use of the crown will pass away. But Yavetz describes chalaf not as passing away, but exchanging. Udiishtamesh betaga, he who makes use of the crown, Bar Tanura says taga means keser. Udiishtamesh bekeser, he who makes use of the crown of Torah, chalaf is exchanging. What is he exchanging? He exchanges the reward of the world to come for paltry riches in this world. So when I read that sentence in Rav Lau, and if you could see, all my Sfarim are very marked up, because when I prepare, I write in them. So I made a note here. It reminded me of the famous story in the Gemara of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa and his wife. So I'm taking a break for a minute from Rav Lau to go to Maseches Tainis, okay? Chav Hei, Amad Beis. Chav Hei, no, Amad Aleph. Just joking. Chav Hei, Amad Aleph. Amrei Lei Divisihu. Once Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's wife said to him, right, we just read, we should not exchange the crown of Torah. This is a different interpretation. Don't exchange the crown of Torah for riches in this world. How long do riches in this world last you? First of all, they may not even last you your whole life. Hashem is Morish Asher, says Chana. Second of all, even if they do last you your whole life, at the end of the day, a person's going to die. And then what other riches are going to help you? They're not. Pirkei Avos, Pirkei Vav, Mishnah Tes. They're not going to help us. So do not, alternative interpretation, Yavetz says, chalaf means exchange. Udiishtamesh betaga chalaf, one who is making use of the crown of Torah to serve himself in this world, is really exchanging his olam haba for honor and glory in this world. How long do honor and glory in this world last you? Not very long. Once Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's wife, so when I read that, don't exchange your olam haba for things in this world, I was reminded of this Gemara. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's wife once said to him, "Ad emas nezil v'nitzta'er kuleha." How long will we continue to suffer from such dire poverty? Amar la, he said to her, "My navid, what should we do? Be'i rachmei dinisevu lach midei." So his wife said, "You know what you should do? You're asking what you should do. We're in such poverty. Pray. Pray rachmei. Pray for mercy that you should be given something of value in this world." Ba'a rachmei. He prayed for mercy. Yatzitza kimin pisas yad. I'm sure you have heard this Gemara. Some sort of hand emerged from heaven. V'yahavu le'chad kara difitora didahava. I just mentioned in a shir the other day that in Aramaic, Zion becomes a dalet in the word zahav, in the word zachor. Didahava is gold. So a hand emerges from heaven and gives him one leg, chad kara, one leg of a golden table. Chazia b'chalma. He said to his wife, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa said to his wife, "I have seen in a dream, chazei b'chalma, I had a chazon, a chalom, I had a vision in a dream. Asidi, in the future, tzadike de'achei apesora de'dahava, in the future, the righteous are eating at a golden table. De'isle telas kare, and the tzadikim sit in the future," meaning in the Olam HaEmes. "And I saw this dream, and the tzadikim are sitting at a table, and they have three legs at their table. Va'at ochalas, but you are eating apisora ditrekara. You're eating at a table. In my dream, I saw you eating at a table with two legs." What happened to the third leg? It came down to this world. Remember, a hand came out. She said, "How long are we going to live in poverty?" So she said, he said, "What should I do?" So she said, "Daven for rachamim." So he daven for rachamim. So some sort of hand emerges from heaven and gives him a golden leg. And then the next morning he says, "It's very nice, honey, but I had a dream. And all the tzaddikim are at a table with three legs, and you're at a table with two legs. Why are you at a table with two legs? Because the third leg from Olam Haba is right here." Amrale, she said to him, SOS, call for help. Nichalach. Are you content that everyone is eating at a complete table? And I am eating at a defective table. The defective table is Articles translation, by the way. Wait a minute. You had a dream. Are you content that I have a table with one less leg? Amrile, what he was seeing was some vision, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, of reward in the next world. But they got their reward in this world. And if a person gets in this world, it becomes gashmis. In the next world, it's eternality. She said to him, "Umai naved." Oh no, what should we do? So now what did she say to him? "Bai rachme," ask for mercy. The reason I'm smiling is because sometimes they say women are a little indecisive when it comes to making decisions. I probably shouldn't be saying that about the Gemara. At first she said, "Bai rachme, ask for mercy that I should get the golden leg." Now she says, "Ask for mercy that what? Dinish kilihu minach, let them take it back from you. I don't want this leg." Bai rachme ushikalu. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was such a tzaddik. He prayed for mercy. They don't want their reward in this world. They don't want to use the keser of Torah as an exchange. Yavit says, don't use it as an exchange. Don't exchange your portion in the next world for luxury and riches in this world. How long do luxury and riches in this world last you? A few decades? Luxury and riches of Olam Haba, spirituality. It didn't mean, Hashem told Avraham Avinu, Perek Tesvav, a Bereshis, that after, so the pshat is yes, they will get reparations. Zahav, Kesef, Smalos, V'samtam, Al-Benechim, Al-Benoseichim, Nitzadam, Es Mitzrayim, yes. But the drash of that pasuk is Hashem said, you will leave with great riches, you will leave Mitzrayim, you'll go get the Torah. That's the rechush gadol given to Knesset Yisrael after Yitzias Mitzrayim. So do I want to get my gashmis reward in this world? Do I want to exchange? Udi ishtamesh b'taga chalaf. Someone who uses the crown of Torah for his own purposes in this world is exchanging his reward in Olam Haba, says Yavetz, for gashmis in this world. So Rabbi Chanina and Dosa by Rachme, he davened for mercy, ushikalu, and it was taken back. Tana, a Tana ta, Gadol hayanes acharon yoser min harishon. So the Gemara concludes that the second nes, taking back the leg of the table, was greater than the first nes. Why? Digamire, we have a tradition. Demehav Yahave, things are given from heaven, mishka lo shakale, but they're not taken back from heaven. A person has to be very careful what they ask for, because heaven will give you, but not necessarily take it back if you decide you don't like it or you don't want it. This is the story, the maisa, I shouldn't say story. The maisa, it is related in the Gemara that I was reminded of when I read Rav Lau quoting Yavetz. I can't believe it's 820. When I read Rav Lau quoting Yavetz, who says it means alternatively, it doesn't mean die, it means exchange. And we should never be exchanging. Sometimes we get so caught up in the gospels of this world that we forget where our eternal table is set. It's not set here. It's set in the next world. Many Torah leaders, going back to Rav Lau, many Torah leaders went to unusual lengths so as not to exploit their reputations. The Talmud tells that one time Rabbi Tarfon was passing through a field, I'm quoting Rav Lau on this Mishnah, and he saw some dried dates, tamarim, on the ground. Because they're considered to be ownerless, he picked them up to eat them. When the owner of the field saw someone in his field eating his dates, he suspected Rabbi Tarfon of being the thief who stripped his trees of their fruit throughout the whole year. He thought Rabbi Tarfon's the thief who's always coming and always taking my dates from my trees. He ran forward. He flung Rabbi Tarfon into a sack. This is also from Maseches Nedarim. He began dragging him to the river. Initially, Rabbi Tarfon did not identify himself, but when he realized the farmer was about to drown him, he's being kidnapped and he's about to drown, he cried out, "Woe to you, Tarfon, that this man intends to kill you." When the man realized it was Rabbi Tarfon, he knew this guy wasn't the thief. He dropped the sack and Rabbi Tarfon made off with his life. But the Talmud there concludes, the Gemara there concludes and says, for the rest of his life, Rabbi Tarfon would exclaim, "Woe that I made use of the crown of Torah." And Mr. Irving Bunim, in his Ethics from Sinai, when I was preparing, he tells over the same Maisa by Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Lau says, why did Rabbi Tarfon reprimand himself? After all, he identified himself to save his life. The Gemara answers, since Rabbi Tarfon was a wealthy man, he could have bribed this farmer to set him free without revealing his identity. This is a very high level of someone who does not make use of the crown of Torah, i.e. his reputation as a Torah scholar, for self-serving purposes. But it helps us understand that when we are using, I shouldn't even use that word, when we are living a life of Torah, it should not be for self-aggrandizement. It should be to serve the Ribono Shel Olam, because someone who does chalaf, it's as if he is already dead, because he has no true life of Torah living. He's only serving himself and not God. The famed Maggid of Kuznets told his Hasidim when he was a boy, his father, who was a great Torah scholar, was very concerned that he should not waste his time. On the first night of Hanukkah, the boy wanted to go to the Beis Medrash to learn. The father was afraid he would join the other children in playing Hanukkah games. The boy said, "Father, you gave me 3 coins for Hanukkah money. With these 3 coins, I bought a candle. Let me go learn as long as the candle burns. As soon as the candle burns out, I will come home." His father agreed, and this Rav Israel, the famed Maggid of Kuznets, as a child went to the Beis Medrash. But he grew so engrossed in his learning, he took no notice that the candle went out. When he came home, the father was sure the boy was playing games. He was doing bittul zman, he was wasting time, and he gave him a thrashing. The boy said nothing. When the Maggid students, when he was older and became the Maggid of Kuznets, and he told this story over to his students, they asked, why didn't he explain to his father that he was learning Torah? He got so engrossed that he didn't realize the candle went out. He didn't lose time. He wasn't doing bittul zman. I mean, he did lose time. He lost the track of time. And he answered, what? I should have made use of the crown of Torah. Isn't it true that Hillel tells us, he who makes use of the crown of Torah will die? I'm bringing you these vignettes as Rav Lau Shlita tells them over, so we have an understanding of what this Mishnah means. I don't know that anyone's on such a level, but we have to understand that the purpose of Asiyas HaTorah and Asiyas HaMitzvos is to increase Bein Adam L'Chaveiro and to enhance Bein Adam L'Makom and not to build up my name, which is why we understand how perfectly this Mishnah, which I would venture to say in Aramaic, none of us probably even, I don't know, maybe did. But before this series on Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Gimel, I didn't know what the Mishnah meant. We spent Baruch Hashem, this is the fourth class, and I hope we have much greater understanding of this Mishnah. And now we understand how the beginning of the Mishnah connects to the end of the Mishnah. The beginning of the Mishnah is he who pulls a name for himself will lose his name. What's the end of the Mishnah? If you use the crown of Torah for personal use, You will be cut off. It's really two aspects of the same idea. I'm now going to quote from Mr. Irving Bunim. Mr. Irving Bunim, by the way, I finished the biography. You know, I've been recommending it in like almost every class, A Fire and a Soul. It was fantastic. The only thing I want to still read are a couple of essays, speeches from Rav Soloveitchik at the end of the book. It was just amazing. Okay. Mr. Irving Bunim writes, Chalaf also means change, C-H-A-N-G. And I thought this was very interesting when I was preparing, because you would go into the store and you'd say, Ani ratzala hachlif et hasimla. So the shtamesh betaga chalaf, he who makes use of the crown is changing. What does that mean? The knife, he says, in ritual slaughter, did you know this? It's called a chalaf. Right? Did you know that? Yes. Okay. Why? Because it changes living into dead. So something that changes the form or the status of something, the knife, is called a chalaf. Interesting. So he, Mr. Irving Bunim, says, Udishtamesh betaga, he who makes use of the crown. And by the way, in this is Feldheim, Mr. Irving Bunim's Ethics from Sinai is translated by Feldheim. Their translation of this phrase in the Mishnah, listen carefully, because it's going to come to the last point I want to make after I quote Mr. Irving Bunim. One who makes personal use of the crown. One who makes personal use of the crown shall soon be gone. Keep that in mind. Chalaf is the shechita knife because it changes a living animal into a dead animal. The word is also used for a banker who changes money. How do we apply that to this Mishnah? A man who misuses the Torah for his own personal ends is changing spiritual values into worldly vanities. It's sort of like Yavetz who says exchanges, but it's just interesting. Chalaf, ani watzala achlif et hasimla, makes a lot of sense. That's what chalaf means. I want to change this dress. He is transforming the stuff of which the world to come is made into the transient currency of this fleeting world. The rabbis attribute the destruction of Jerusalem to this kind of abuse. The people manipulated Torah for their own purposes. They corrupted the law to fit their own personal needs. They decided cases to their own advantage. So here we have another aspect. When a person does not paskin the halacha or follow the halacha, but bends it to meet his own needs, he is also making use of the crown for personal gain. Such a person is exchanging olam haba for olam haza. Such a person ultimately, like the Bartunura says, will not get a portion of olam haba. And such a person is serving himself and not serving Hashem. Then he tells the story also of Rabbi Tarfon. I was thinking to myself, you know, it's Rosh Chodesh Adar. It's Leil Aleph to Rosh Chodesh Adar. It's really the 30th of Shvat. It's the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar. And the Gemara tells us in Maseches Tainis, Chav Tes Amad Av. Oh, I have Tainis right here. We just wrote a quote from Chav Hey. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Tainis, Chav Tes. Just like when Av enters, we decrease joy. Rav says, just like when Av enters, we decrease joy. Korban Beis Hamikdash. So too, when Adar enters, we increase joy. And Rashi says, I quoted in this morning's shir, Rashi says, we increase joy because it's the season of Yom Tovim now. We have joy in Adar because of Purim and Pesach. It's the time of year of Geula. The Geula being saved from Haman Achashverosh, the Geula, Geulas Mitzrayim. So I'm always trying to see things through the lens of Inyani Dioma. So I thought it was really interesting to consider just the pshat of this Mishnah. It's a little bit out of the box. I definitely did not see this brought down anywhere. I don't know, Shivim Panam Torah. The Ishtamish Betaga Chalaf. One who makes personal use of the crown shall soon be gone. Udi ishtamish betaga, the Bartonura tells us that taga is a keser. One who makes personal use of the crown shall soon be gone. The Megillah tells us in Perek Dalet, I'm starting from Perek Dalet, Pasuk Hey. Atikra Esther lahasach misarise hamelach. And Esther calls to Hasach, one of the, I don't know how you pronounce the word, E-U-N-U-C-H, the chamberlains, okay? The eunuch of the king, I don't know how you say it. Asher Hamid Lefanen, who was serving her, Hasach was her personal servant, if you will. Bat Hatziveel Mordechai, she commanded him about Mordechai, Ladas, Maze, Vamaze. Why is Mordechai in such a tizzy? Parakadal and Pasuk Aleph, we're told that Mordechai is going in the streets and he's screaming sackcloth ashes. So she calls Hasach, her personal servant. She says, please go find out what's Mordechai so hysterical about. What's going on here? Vayetzi Hasach al Mordechai al Rechov Ha'ir. Remember, Mordechai is in the streets of Shushan screaming. Hasach goes to Mordechai, to the streets of the city that is before the gates of the king. And Mordechai tells him everything that happened. About the money, I spoke about the money in my Parsha Shkalim share this morning, about the money that Haman wanted, Lishkol, the Shkalim, to give to the treasury of the king to destroy the Jews, and about the text of the letter that was given in Shushan to destroy them, Laharoso es Esther, Lahagidla, Laharos. Laharos es Esther, Lahagidla, to show Esther and to tell her, Ulitzavos Allah, and to command her. So Mordechai sends a message through Hasach, to Esther. Lavo al melech, go to the king. Lehischanein lo, beg him. Ulevakish mufanav al ama, throw yourself at his feet. Bakasha, techina, plead for us. Plead for your nation. Vayavo Hasach. Hasach comes back to the palace. Vayegi la Esther. Esther v'y Mordechai. And he tells Esther, you're not going to believe it. You know why he's in such a state. Vayizik besoch ha'ir. Vayitzi besoch ha'ir. And he's wearing sak v'efer. Vayilbash sak v'efer. Za'ak v'gdol amar. You're not going to believe it. All the Jews are about to be killed. And Mordechai said, you have to go to the king. Atoma Esther lahasach. And Esther says to Hasach, v'tatziveu al Mordechai, to command Mordechai. Well, she doesn't like this whole idea. Everyone knows Achashverosh is a very volatile king. He's not so stable. If the wife doesn't listen, what does he do to the wife he doesn't like? He kills her. What did he do to the first one who didn't listen? There's a law. What's the law? You can't go to the king if you're not called. So she tells Hasach to tell Mordechai, call Avdei HaMelech v'Amedino Samelech Yodim, all the servants of the king. Everybody knows this. It's written in stone in the king's charter. And all the nations and all the provinces of the king know. Asher kol ish v'isha asher yavo l'melech echal chatzar ha'pnimis. Every man, every woman who should go into the closest chamber, the closed chamber, the courtyard ha'pnimis, the inner chamber. There you go. Asher lo yikaru has not been called achasta, so there's one law. L'hamis! He'll be killed. There's only one possibility. What's the one possibility? Maybe if the king's in a good mood, he'll stick out the golden scepter. But everybody knows the one law. Off with your head. V'chaya, maybe if he sticks out the sharvit hazav, then you'll live. But me, ani lo nikresi l'vav amech, shloshim yam. It's going to be my turn soon. The king loves me. I found chein v'chasad l'fanav mikol habesulos. I'm so beautiful, even without the makeup. And even without the perfume, she didn't take anything, only what they forced her to take. I was still chosen. I haven't been called for 30 days. I'm sure it's going to be my turn soon. Ayomer Melach. Oh, Vayegidu l'Mordechai stivrei Esther. Mordechai does not like this. Ayomer Mordechai l'hashiv el Esther. And Mordechai says to send a message back to Esther. Al tadami b'nafshech l'himalei beit hamech mikol ha'yehudim. Don't be silent with your life. Do not think you will escape in silence with your life in the house of the king more than any other Jew. Ki im ha'charesh tacharishi b'esazos. If you persist in your silence at this time, revach v'hatzala yamol l'yehudim imakam acher. V'at u'beis avich tovedu. Do not think, Queen Esther, that you will save your life more than any other Jews just because you're in the palace. And if you persist in your silence at this time, salvation and deliverance shall come from somewhere else, and you and your father's house shall perish. Udi ishtamish betaga chalaf. Someone who is granted divine gifts, someone who is granted prominence, someone who is granted kochos, wealth, abilities, capabilities, and makes use of the crown for personal reasons, but doesn't share his abilities, his talents, his capabilities, his position of prominence, his influence to help other Jews, chalaf, will die. You were given the crown, Esther. Umi odeya im la'ekazot higat l'malchut. Do you think you were given the crown for personal use? The ishtamesh betaga, taga's a keser, says the bartender. Do you think God appointed you so you could be a beautiful queen in a protected palace with a king who's infatuated with you for your own personal use and salvation? Chalaf va'at ubeisoveich avich tovedu. If you think God put you here just so you can make personal use of the crown, you will pass away. And perhaps for a time like this, you are made queen. There's a Musar Haskell here. Someone who is given resources must use them to serve the klal. Someone who is given talents, abilities, and capabilities, to paraphrase Rabbi Zev, to quote Rabbi Zevlev, must use those talents, abilities, and capabilities to serve the klal and the Ribbono Shel. Someone who is able to be a doer and get things done has to be a doer, not only for your personal use. Kol Yisrael Revim Zeh Bazeh. How unbelievably this last phrase in the Mishnah can literally be applied to Mordechai's message to Esther. Udi ishtamesh betaga. What is Feldheim's translation? If you make personal use of the crown, chalaf, you will meet your end. That's exactly what Mordechai told her. And perhaps that's what Hillel and Mordechai is telling us. We all have unique talents, abilities, and capabilities. We all have strengths we can contribute to Klal Yisrael. We're not all the same, we're all different. God endows each one of us with some type of crown. And if we keep that crown for personal use, God wants us to serve Knesset Yisrael, to bring betterment to the state of Am Yisrael, and ultimately to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam in such a way. Rav Soloveitchik says, Al tadami b'nafshech l'imalei beit ha-melech mikol ha-yehudim. Says Rav Soloveitchik, our fate does not distinguish between aristocrats and common folk. Between rich and poor, doesn't matter if your crown is inlaid with a hope diamond or with little diamond chips or no diamonds at all. Our fate does not distinguish between aristocrats and common folk, between rich and poor, between the prince garbed in royal purple and the pauper begging from door to door. Our fate, the fate of Am Yisrael, does not distinguish between the pietist, the chassid, and the assimilationist. Even though we speak a plethora of languages, even though we are inhabitants of different lands, even though we look different, one may be short and dark, the other may be tall and blonde, even though we live in varying and unequal social and economic conditions, one may dwell in a magnificent palace, the other lives in a miserable hovel. Nevertheless, all Jews share the same fate. If the Jew in the hovel is beaten, then the security of the Jew in the palace is endangered. If the Jew in the hovel is beaten, and the security of the Jew in the palace is endangered. Do not imagine you can escape in the king's palace the fate of all other Jews. Both Queen Esther, who is garbed in her royal apparel, and Mordechai the Jew, who is clad in sackcloth, were caught in the same web of historical circumstances. We will all be pursued unto death, or we will all be redeemed with eternal salvation. We've given a lot of interpretations based on the Baruch Tanura, Rav Lau, Yavetz, Mr. Irving Bunim. We call it Masachas Tainis, and Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa, we tied it into Shir. But it's Adar. And the Megillah is a scroll that is hidden, Megillat Esther, the scroll of the hidden. Perhaps Hillel's teaching speaks loud and clear in the example of Mordechai and Esther. Udi ishtamesh betaga. If you make use of the crown for personal reasons, whatever crown God gives you, if you don't use those talents, abilities, and capabilities to bring betterment to Klal Yisrael, don't think you can escape with your life. Kol Yisrael revim zeh bazeh. Chalaf, you will die. Va'at ubeis avich tovedu. Mi odeya. We all have to look at our abilities, capabilities, and talents and say, maybe for this I was created. Maybe for this I've been appointed to Malchus. Maybe for this my whole life is worth it. Never make use of a personal crown. Use whatever crown God endows you with to serve the klal. May our learning be ischus aliyah neshama for Rab Alter Zev ben Naftali Chaim zichron alvracha, Sara Bap ben Sion alaha shalom, Sara Bechizkia Lakoin alaha hashalom, as well as a refuah shalema for Achanan Pesach ben Sara and Shlomo ben Sara Dina b'soch shar chalei Yisrael. I wish everybody a gein chodesh, b'soros tovos mishenechnas Adar, marbim b'simcha, and thank you for this journey these past 4 weeks through a Mishnah that I dare say probably most of us, at least myself, do not understand much about. Thank you. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody. Thank